her face was just like coming closer and closer. So I was just like, what should I do?
It's just New York life.
And then eventually everyone in the subway station is staring at me.
You know, you get off a car every time someone's acting wild, you're never gonna get where you're going, right?
And what I saw, it was something out of a horror movie.
Christina Baez, and you're listening to The Subway Portraits. Welcome and thanks for tuning in. The Subway Portraits podcast serves as an oral archive of people's experiences riding in New York City's MTA subway. These stories, no matter how old, are told by you, the commuters, the tourists, and the native New Yorkers like myself. Selected stories are then animated and shared on our YouTube channel. On today's episode, The Zone, The Room, The Unexplainable, and more, you'll hear a range of memories, from an unforgettable moment dancing on a platform to a sneak peek in a room underground that not many commuters get to lay eyes on. But before we begin, I want to make it clear that The Subway Portraits does not in any way condone violence, illegal activity, discrimination, or abuse of any kind. And with that, let's jump right in. Dance off.
I was waiting for the Q train at the Barclays Center, and I wasn't exactly dancing, but I was kind of like in my zone with music. I was just listening to my music, and I was like partially probably in some path of where you could walk, although there was like, you know, there were other places you could have walked as well. My bad for standing in the way. I'm standing there, and then someone, I guess, yells behind me, and I don't realize. And then eventually everyone in the subway station is staring at me, and I'm like thinking, like, is my music, like, can they hear my music, or like, am I doing something weird? And then I turn around, and there's like this little man, and he's like cursing me out, like, all, like, telling me, like, you know, I'm terrible, how dare I do this, what am I doing, like, no, and I'm getting, like, berated by this guy, and I was just sitting there thinking, like, I don't necessarily know what I was thinking. I was just like, it was the first time living in the city that, like, I'd ever actually had, like, an encounter that I was like, oh, like, that was, like, it just caught me off guard, right? Like, I've been in situations before, but, like, usually I've been, like, I guess more aware, and it's just funny because, like, I went from being in such a great mood, like, loving my music, loving everything that was going on, to just, like, total, like, on edge, bad, anxious. I got on the wrong train just because I was, like, ready to just get out of the station, and, yeah, I guess that was my experience.
The Rat Pack.
So one day while riding the train, the N train to 34th Street, and this was around 2015. Okay, so we riding the train, and it stops on 34th Street. At this point, I'm riding the front of the train, the first wagon. Okay, so when it stops in front of the storage room. You know, there's usually a storage room there, but the doors were open. And so as I'm looking towards that the door, I'm saying, but wow, that's a lot of garbage bags there. You know, but then I keep looking and I'm focusing into the room. And all of a sudden I'm seeing movement going on in this room. And what I saw, it was something out of a horror movie. There was rats all over these bags. I mean, it was like a mountain of rats in this room. And we're so close. We're like maybe 3 feet away from the door of the train. And we're, you know, the people are looking at the door, and they're going, like we were in shock. We've never seen anything like that. And we say, please let these doors close because this rascal could easily just walk right into the train because it's only like a couple of feet, maybe 2-3 feet from the doors. So I'm guessing that whatever worker went in there to pick up these garbage bags, opened the door, and when he saw that, he ran away. He just ran out. He ran out and left the doors open. And that's because I have never seen the doors open to those rooms, never, until this day. Well, whoever the employee was, he left. The horror.
The unanimous choice.
So I had a good moment of like gallows humor when the shutdown was going on in 2020. And this would have been late summer, July or August, because I know I hadn't gone back to work yet. The shit had been going on for a long time and like everyone was still pretty full well in, you know, seeing stacks of bodies on the news and, you know, and whatever the full, you know, blown experience of the pandemic. Everyone was still a little bit freaked out, but for some reason I had to get uptown and I was getting on an uptown F train at like the 6th, 14th stop. And we were on the platform, the train came along and the doors opened, and there was probably like between 5 and 8 people who got on at the exact same stop, you know, in various in the 3 different entryways on the train. And in the middle of the train was a guy who was just full-blown spasming, thrashing, coughing, just a crazy unhinged, like a very, very incredibly alarming, in, you know, especially in the context, cough. And everybody who had just gotten on that step onto that otherwise empty train all had the exact same sequence of reactions. Like we first, you can see, I kind of noticed everybody doing the exact same thing that I was doing, which was adhering to my normal like subway programming. It's like when you get on a train and somebody's acting wild and crazy and shit, you don't like get back off the train because, you know, you get off a car every time someone's acting wild, you're never going to get where you're going, right? So what you do instead is you just kind of survey the train and see how far away from them you can possibly sit or stand and go there, and then get really interested in your phone or the ads above the, you know, car or whatever. So we all kind of did that move, and we all kind of stopped at the exact same time, and everybody just made the same decision to like, no, this is the middle of a plague. This guy looks like he has it. And everybody just got off. And it was just really funny to me because it's not like I saw people locking eyes with one another. It really seemed and felt like we had all just gotten on and gone through that first programmed reaction of like doing the scan. And then all like not collectively, because like I said, there wasn't any communication, but unanimously coming to the same decision to just like, okay, today I'm gonna catch the next one. So I thought that was just kind of a funny moment.
More stories to come, but before we get to those, did you know New York City's subway system started over 118 years ago? It's fascinating to think about how amazing it would have been to listen to commuters from then share their most memorable moments. Unfortunately, those stories were never recorded. That's why the Subway Portraits aims to preserve an oral history of our time on the subway. So if you have your own subway story, go to our site at www.thesubwayportraits.com. and be part of this living history for future generations to reference. Share as many memories as you'd like. They just have to be true. And you can record from your cell phone, laptop, or desktop. And to make it easier for you, I've added the direct link to record your story in this episode's show notes. Selected stories from the show are turned into short animations, streaming now on the Subway Portraits YouTube channel. That's at youtube.com/@thesubwayportraits, or click the link in this episode's description. I also want to give a huge thank you to those who've already submitted their stories. This project could not be possible without you. Thank you. Now back to the show. commuter commiseration.
So I have a positive story that I wanted to share. I was on the 6th train one day, pre-pandemic. I got on at 125th Street, East Harlem, and there was an MTA worker already on the train. So there were a lot of delays, very significant delays, in both directions, I believe, if I remember correctly. And when I got on, we were like, it happens a lot here in New York. So we weren't even at the next stop yet. We weren't even at 116th Street. And there was a rider who was pretty disgruntled and got up and actually went to the MTA worker who was riding. He was sitting down, slouched over. You could tell he was just trying to get somewhere. This rider goes up to this MTA worker just complaining and really upset about the delays and asking what this worker is going to do about it. And the worker, like, you know, that's just kind of off the clock, obviously, he kind of like throws his hands up in disbelief, and he's kind of like, I'm not working right now. And the rider just kind of like, you know, got annoyed and walked away. So we were in a pretty empty car, so he walked to like the other end of the car. And I was just like sitting there kind of holding back laughter, and the MTA worker just looks at me and he's nodding his head, and he's just like, unbelievable. And I said to him, you know, sir, next time someone does that to you while you're not on the clock, just say to them, I have some advice for you. At the next stop, get off, take a bus to LaGuardia Airport, get on a plane, and leave New York City, because these things are bound to happen. It's just New York life. There's going to be train delays. I think we all know that. You know, it just boggles my mind when people act like this is brand new. And like, just the audacity that this man had to walk up to an MTA worker who's clearly not on the clock. You know, people have lives. You know, this guy, yeah, he had a uniform on, he had a badge, but, you know, he's still a human being. He still has stuff to do. He still has a life to live. So the MTA worker did laugh. We both started laughing, and we had a conversation. I think it was great that the positive to that was that, you know, there were three people who were frustrated in that car. I was frustrated, the worker and the rider. But two of us ended up having a good laugh, and we connected and had some good conversation until I got off at my stop. So that's definitely kind of small, but a good memory that I have on the train.
Unexplainable.
This story begins when I was in late. I believe 10th grade, and I was taking the train. So, you know, as a New Yorker, you know, you go to the train, you don't really pay for the Metro card. So I was trying to take it. I was trying to go into like a weird area of a station where there's not really a booth or anything. So, but usually around that area, there's like a lot of crackers around, chill around there. Cause you know, during the winter time, it'd be cold. So they try to chill and stuff. So one time there was this one crackhead, and she had like so much makeup on her. Like she looked like one of those, like, not to be rude, like those Japanese like culture, like where like, but she was looking worse at a point, like the makeup was just smeared across her face and everything. So, and I think she was like, at that point, she tried to like come up to me, but in a weird way, at a certain point she ran. So I was so like, at that point, nah, I was just, it was a crazy, damn, how do I explain it? It was just like, I don't even know. It was just, I didn't even know like what to do at that point when she came. Like the closer she came, it was just like her face was just like coming closer and closer. So I was just like, what should I do at that point? So the only thing I know what to do is just run away, bro. So basically I just took the dip, and that was it. Yeah, it was just the craziest story right there.
Keep tuning in to hear real stories told by real people. links to watch animated versions of these stories, to record your own story, or just to get more information on the subway portraits can be found in this episode's show notes. Don't forget to subscribe and follow. Thanks for listening and ride with us. Until next time.